Hoyer in the pistol. He's got West behind him. He brings Barnage into the pistol with him. On first and goal, play action fake. He throws. Touchdown, Miles Austin. He beat Patrick Robinson, who's not off to a good start today.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850.
That was Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, on the call of the Browns' first touchdown of the game, a play-action beauty to Miles Austin on the backside slant. Austin with a great route on that one, crossed right over the face of the DB. Easy pitch and catch. Both Browns passing touchdowns this year now have come off of play action, and that's something that a good running game will do for you. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And I'll tell you what, before we get to phone calls, which we're going to do in just a second, 216-578-0850, pretty interesting. You would have thought that if Johnny Manziel made his NFL debut, which he did yesterday, by the way, blinking, you missed it, that would have been one of the first things we talk about. But after this day, it's all about Brian Hoyer. It's all about Mike Pettine.
It's everybody else. Right. And that's a great thing, and I think it's a huge step organizationally in the right direction.
It certainly is. Let's go to the phones now and get your reaction. 216-578-0850. Jonathan in Solon, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good guy.
So I thought it was really interesting at the end of the game that the Browns fans wouldn't quiet down when there was 8 seconds left on the clock, because when they showed the replay, it showed that there should be 15 seconds put back on the clock. And Pettine's trying to quiet the crowd down, but I haven't really heard anyone talk about that. I thought that was interesting.
I think it was one of those things when they went to the replay, and that's what we were all saying on the sideline. You got to get 15 seconds back on the clock when they were showing the replay. It's good. I'll take all the crowd noise that we can have. I think it was good. They did get quiet. You could hear a pin drop when we were running the play until you heard the eruption once Andrew Hawkins tumbled to the ground and finally caught that pass from Brian Hoyer, which, by the way, was a fantastic read. It was a blown coverage, and it would be very easy, and Mike Pettine made this point postgame, for a quarterback in that situation where you know you're trying to get 5 yards to not even look vertically. But that's where the hole was.
He was just that open.
I was screaming. I was literally, Hawkins was running right at me, and I was screaming, throw him the ball, get please. And it was in the air, and I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, please catch it, please catch it. And he's tumbling. I'm like, please catch it. And I actually talked to Hawk after the game. I said, what was going through your mind? He's like, oh, man. He's like, I just got to catch the ball. I have to catch this ball. And catch it, he did, setting up the game winner there. So another great play by Brian Hoyer. But I thought the crowd was phenomenal in this game, and I'm glad the officials got it right with 15 seconds, because if you only have 8 seconds there, you do have the timeout, so it doesn't limit you completely, but it's going to have to be a quick play, and the defense is going to know that. It gives you an advantage.
It does, and that was my, that's where I was. I was thinking strategically. Having played with Doug Flutie as a backup to Breeze my first couple of years in San Diego, he was methodical with clock management, and I was always in his ear, like, how many first downs do we need, or what do we need to do to stop the, and sitting by his side, and I was just like, 5 to 7 yards to get, go from 54, in that 46, 47 range, for that last second field goal if need be, was exactly what I wanted. And enough time that you're not going to eat up much clock to be able to call that timeout with 1 or 2 seconds left and kick that game-winning field goal.
I was almost looking for the old out and up right there. I don't remember who the Raiders lost to, but this goes way back in the day. It was a Monday night game, and the Raiders were in a similar situation to where the Saints were, where the opponent was on the cusp of field goal range and wanted to just – it's the same situation, end of the game, and just wanted to get a few yards instead of field goal, and they ran an out-and-up for a touchdown to win the game. And I was just sitting there, I'm like, let's go with an out-and-up. They'll jump all over it. They'll jump all over
yes,
it. But I'm glad we ran like a little bit of a vertical, and it worked, and you get turned into a chip shot. Billy Cundiff still has never missed a field goal under 30 yards. Let's go to Damian in Columbus now. Damian, welcome to CBD.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's great. Could it be any better?
Great victory Monday. The one thing I want to say is we finally have an identity, and it's we're going to run the ball and use that to open up the passing game. I love our running game. I like when we're imposing our will. I can't believe I'm saying this. We're imposing our will on teams now, and I like the two rookie running backs. I'm loving this.
I love it, too, and I think you're right. This was a Browns team that last year – they were a throwing team, but that's not an identity unless you have the diversity of weapons that, say, a Drew Brees and the Saints have or Peyton Manning has. But people forget, too, that when the Saints won the Super Bowl, they were the sixth in the NFL in rushing. They were actually a balanced team. But now the Browns absolutely have an opportunity here to have an identity, and I think you're seeing it with an unbelievable ground game anchored by, as you correctly pointed out, just a fantastic offensive line. And this scheme, the zone scheme, has been proven to work everywhere when it's run correctly. And a lot of that depends on the line and having backs that understand you have to put your foot in the ground and get up the field. And Terrence maybe did a little bit of dancing every now and then, but for the most part, he did that. And Crow is absolutely a north-south, put my foot in the ground and go runner. And the Browns are, they can give it to teams running the football.
They are, and I think if you watch the game, watch that push the offensive line is getting consistently, and we did not see that last year, which is why we struggled, you know, with the run. And also, too, is you got to love the aggression and the aggressive defensive calls by O'Neal and Coach Pettine, regardless of who's calling him. We're determining what happens in this game instead of playing such a reactive, sit back, let everybody, you know, have their will with us.
And it sets up play action, and Brian Hoyer has proven to be a more effective and more comfortable quarterback in play action. He averages about a yard per attempt more in play action so far this season than he does without play action. His quarterback rating without play action, 77.5. His quarterback rating with play action, 110. So when you have that identity and you have a quarterback who thrives and excels in play action, which, by the way, a lot of quarterbacks will when you have a great running game, but that's something where Brian Hoyer seems to have a very natural rhythm, a very natural feel for things. It's really setting this team up to be effective, and I think it's a great identity for this team and a great identity for this offense, because the Browns don't have right now, and Miles Austin did great for what Miles Austin can do. Very much a possession receiver at this point in his career. Strong hands, made great catches. Andrew Hawkins, unbelievable out of the slot. Great quickness, runs phenomenal routes, great hands, etc. But nobody on this is a dominant number one outside receiver. Like, for example, you watched the Sunday night game last night where finally Jay Cutler was like, you know what? I don't care that Brandon Marshall's covered. I'm throwing Brandon Marshall the ball, and he's going to make a play for me. The Browns don't necessarily have that guy, so you need something to kind of create that space and separation for your receivers.
You're absolutely right, and I think there's 3 points that I'd love to make. One is Brian Hoyer understands what he's good at and what he's not, so he's not going to try and go above and beyond and prove everybody wrong and throw a bunch of deep balls. He plays within himself. He makes sharp reads and accurate throws. Secondly, I think the time that he spent with Tom Brady, you know, master. You watch the Patriots and watch those play fakes, those long extended zones where he pulls it back or can hand it off. They all look the same. And lastly, I think Brian Hoyer also learned a lot from Norv Turner. Norv Turner has had some very successful running backs. I got to spend some time with him, obviously, when I was with the San Diego Chargers, having LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates. So he's worked with, you know, an offensive coordinator and sat behind quarterbacks that are some of the best in the business.
And I know that ball handling was something they really wanted to emphasize with Brian Hoyer this offseason. His play action fakes were not necessarily where they wanted him coming into it, and he's made drastic improvements. We saw out of the pistol, he had some great play fakes. The pirouette screen, which you said is a Norv Turner staple there on the tight end screen to Jim Dre, was very well executed. And it really is setting up a situation for this offense that when they get in those true 50-50 jobs, those true 50-50 situations, that defenses now can't just pin their ears back and come after the quarterback. They can't just play the run. They have to get that pause. And as you know, in the NFL, that pause is what gives an offense an advantage.
It does. And again, kudos to Kyle Shanahan as well. Calling a great game is there were some times where they're, you know, just running those 4 or 5 yard speed outs to Hawkins or Gabriel or Austin and getting, you know, putting us in 3rd and 3, you know, when you've gone, you know, you're 2nd and 8, you're sitting at 2nd and 8, you get 4 or 5 yards, you know, you don't have to get big chunks. So they're controlling the clock, you know, and I think legitimately keeping defenses at bay by a combination of run pass. We saw also, too, which I'm sure we'll touch upon, is a combination of that muddle huddle, sugar huddle, call the play at the line, but also huddling, which we thought they would do. I think overall, again, the coaching staff had them prepared, and the team went out and executed.
They certainly did. Let's go now to Lavelle in Cleveland on this victory Monday. What's up, Lavelle?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Excellent. Excellent. How are you?
I am phenomenal. Guys, I can't say enough about the defense. I mean, I know Joe Hayden got, you know, bodied by Jimmy Graham a few times, and God bless him, he tried, but Jimmy Graham's just too big. But other than that, I really feel like the defense really controlled this game. Tayshaun Gibson's pick six was beautiful
and huge.
And Carlos Dansby taking the Saints out of field goal range was probably the play of the game that nobody
I say in the open. I thought that absolutely led this team to victory. That was the play that made it possible for the Browns to win this game with a field goal, because you went back, and as soon as you see that extra point, you go, this is going to matter.
Yes. Especially the type of football games we're going to be in all year.
You're like, this is going to matter. This is not good. And, of course, it did matter, because had the Saints been able to kick that field goal, they would have been up 4 instead of 3. The Browns would have then needed a touchdown to win the game. It would have been a touchdown or bust at that situation, which would have made it very, very tough. I also want to say this. The guts that Mike Pettine showed early in the game. The first touchdown was set up by the Browns going for it on 4th and 1 at around the 5-yard line. And you don't see a lot of coaches do that, but I think it shows that I think he may have taken something from the Pittsburgh game where maybe he could have been a little more aggressive at the end with the field goal, no field goal, Billy Cundiff, and said, we need to make a statement here. They go for it at 4th and 1 on New Orleans 5. And not only that, I think you know when you're going against Drew Brees, when you get down inside the 10, you need touchdowns, not field goals. Field goals are not going to beat Drew Brees.
You definitely do, and I think that is such a tough call because, of course, you've got 70,000, you know, screaming Browns fans swaying you one way, of course, to go for it and be aggressive. But I think more so than anything, it's Mike Pettine's way of looking in that locker room and going, I trust you. I trust you, Kyle Shanahan, to call the right play, and I trust you guys to go out and execute and convert. And we all look good in making that call together.
Everybody does, and it makes the players like a coach that gives them those opportunities.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. You want that aggressive, the same way you want to play for a defensive coordinator that wants to blitz or rush a lot. You want to play for a head coach that makes those gutsy calls.
That's right, and the gutsy calls led to the Browns' first victory and the first in the Mike Pettine era. He was emotional after the game. Everybody was. It was a jubilant situation there at First Energy Stadium. I know the dog pound was barking loud. Coming up next here on CBD, it is the Blue Point Grill Roundtable. Staff writer Kevin Jones and the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Join Matt Wilhelm and myself up next to break down this win over the Saints and what it means for the Browns going forward. Hand in hand.